In this tutorial, we're going to talk about the events view in the Perfview tool. So to do that, I'm going to launch the Perfview tool, and I'm going to use the data from our tutorial example. So this is data that we collected in previous tutorials, and all I have to do is double click on it to open it up, and it's going to show me all the different views of that data. And to date, we've been concentrating on the CPU stacks view. But this time we're going to change gears and instead double click on this events view. And this brings up this events viewer. Now, the important thing about views in Perfview in general is that they have interesting help for you. You can right click on things and you can find out all sorts of useful things that you might be able to do. But you also have these hyperlinks. And these are worth going after. You can like look at the event help. Most of the cool tips that I'm telling you are actually right here. And it literally, you know, a page of reading will tell you most of what I'm going to tell you in this tutorial. So those things are definitely worth looking at. And as well as if you ever want to know what any of these things are, like this, you can double click on those. And again, it will take you to the corresponding place in the help to let you know more about that particular dialogue, you know, text box or whatever. The event viewer consists of two main parts. This window over here, which contains the names of every event in the trace, and this pane over here, which will display more detail in just a second. But before I do, I wanted to explain that the events view is sort of the raw view of the ETL data. Basically, the ETL data is, at its heart, simply a time-ordered list of events where every event can have its own payload. And so that's what this viewer is designed to show you. What its value is it lets you filter down to exactly the events that you're interested in. And typically, the first order filtering that you want to do is based on event name. And so that's what this left pane is all about. A name in an ETW data file consists of three parts. And let's just pick this guy right here, the allocation tick event. And the first part of the name is the provider name. So this Microsoft Windows .NET runtime is the provider for this particular event. And then the second part is what's called the task. And a task is an area within a provider. So you can see that the .NET runtime provider has a GC task, a loader task, a method task, a thread pool worker task, and so on. And then within that task, there are individual events. And so the allocation tick is a particular event in the GC task of the .NET runtime. And so typically what you're going to do is you're going to pick a certain set of events. And the way you do that is you can either hold down the shift key and select either just click on something if you just need one event. You can hold down the shift key if you need multiple events, or you can hold down the control key and you can pick particular events that are all over the place. Once you've got the events that you want, you can hit enter, and it then populates this right-hand pane with the details of the particular events that you chose. The first issue that you're going to run into is that even picking the particular events you want is not trivial, because you can see there are quite a number of them, and in fact you can have quite a bit more of them in more complicated traces. And so just finding the events that you're interested in is a non-trivial issue. And so that's what this filter text box is for. If you type, let's assume that I was interested in just understanding what processes got started during this trace. And you say, you know, there's a pretty good chance there's an event for that, but I don't know what its name is. But let's just find all the event names that have process in them. And so I just type a few characters of process, and I see, oh, look, the Windows kernel provider has a bunch of events that have a process task associated with them, and that there's ones called process start and end. Ooh, those look interesting. So I control click to hit those and hit enter, and I can see, those are interesting. And I get to see all the payload associated with them, and I can see, oh, the process tutorial started at this time, and the process con host started at this time, and they ended at these times, and so forth. So those are probably the events that I was looking for. They're probably the beginning and the end of the process, and in fact, that's what they are. So the other cool thing that you can do with this filter, though, is that I can the filter is a complete regular expression. So I can use the OR operator and use it to sort of find all the things that have names that have proc in them or image in their name. And so now I can say, oh, I care about the process starts, but I also care about the image loads. And so I can hit enter for that, and now I see process start of tutorial, and I see that, oh, in the meantime, Perfview loaded a couple DLLs, and then tutorial ran, and you say, you know, I don't really care about the tutorial process. I really only care, I'm sorry, the Perfview process. I only care about the tutorial process. So I'd like to filter out things that aren't in the processes that I care about, and that's what this process filter text box is about. So if you start typing characters here, or if you just open this drag box, it will show you every process name that was in the trace, and you can pick one of those. So I'm going to pick the tutorial one, and now it filters only events that have these process names and has this process filter, name in its process name. So this will take any process that has tutorial in its process name somewhere. And so I get this set of events, and you can see I get a process start event, then a bunch of image load events, and then a process end event. And so this allows me to sort of zoom in some more. Now I'm going to go ahead and say, you know what, I only care about image load events at the moment. But even when I'm looking at image load events, I can see that there's a whole bunch of stuff in each of these events that I probably don't care about. There's this thing called default base and image checksum and image size, and you know what, I don't care about all that, and it's like cluttering up my view. It's wasting space for me. And so what I can do is that's what this calls button is for. When you click on the calls button, it will display all the fields of all the selected event names that you've selected. And so then you can click on the columns that you're interested in. And here, order matters. So I'm going to click on the hasStack, the build time, and the file name field, and hit enter. And you see now I only get the hasStack, build time, and file name fields of those events. So I can whittle down to the exact fields that I'm interested in. And then I can go even further. Let's assume I only cared about the CLR load event. So I can go up into this text filter box and type CLR. And what this does when I hit enter, this basically filters down to only those events that have CLR somewhere in the event payload. So it's a text filter. And so it can occur on any of the displayed fields. And so somewhere in file name, build name, has task, process name, etc., there is the text CLR. And by the way, this text filter is a .NET regular expression, so you can use regular expressions too. And you can see that there are three DLLs that that have CLR in their name. And so I might be interested in the CLR DLL. And in fact, what I might be interested in for that particular DLL, I kind of like to know who loaded that DLL. And to really answer that question, I need to know the stack at which that DLL was loaded. And thankfully, this particular event has a stack associated with it. That's what this has stack field does, is that if it's true, it's saying that there is a stack trace associated with that event. Not all events will have stack traces, but some do, and image load does. And so now the question is, how do I see that? And the answer is that that's what right click is about. So I'm going to select that particular time, and then I'm going to right click, and I'm going to say, open any stacks. And so this will open a stack viewer with just that time. You can see that the time here was just the time that I selected here. And because of that, I will only select one particular event, the one that occurred at that particular time, which happened to be an image load event. And then it shows you the precise time or the precise stack associated with that image load event. And I can do all the normal things I can do in a stack viewer. So in particular, I can pick a few DLL names here, and I can hit Alt-S, which then looks up the symbols for those. and I can see the exact stack trace of it. And you can find out that pretty much it was this MS Core EE DLL did a load library, and that went into the bowels of the operating system, and eventually it caused this image to load. And so now I can find out exactly, this is usually the part of the stack that I care about, the sort of user mode stack associated with getting to that load library. And so now I can know exactly where that particular event occurred and what its stack was. Very cool. So I'm going to remove the text filter for the CLR. And in fact, I'm going to remove the hasStack field. And so now I have this view of data, and I say, ah, this is a great set of data. I want to save this. And there are several different ways you can save this, and one of them is that you can just cut and paste. So I could select, let's assume I only needed, you know, these three things. I didn't care about the file name. So I can hit Control-C, and then I can open up Excel, and I can, what I'm going to do is I'm going to select all the columns, make them big, and then hit Control-V, and it pastes that in. And then I'm going to double-click on that to tell Excel to sort of collapse the sizes of the columns. And now I have the data in Excel. Notice I have the column headers, too. Those got pasted in. And I can do any kind of things that I want to do in Excel. I can do pivot tables. I can do sums. I can do whatever. Anything that I can do in Excel. I could also say, you know, I didn't want to put it in Excel. I wanted to put it in Notepad. So I'm going to type Notepad. And I can paste it there. And notice in Notepad, I don't get comma-separated values. I get this nice sort of columnized thing that is probably nicer for pasting into Notepad. And you can post into Word and so forth, and it'll be a table in Word and so on. So you can cut and paste. That's one way of doing it. But if you have a lot of data, cutting and pasting is probably not the thing that you want to do. If this were thousands of events that you wanted to analyze in some other tool, you probably want to either open the view as a CSV file or an XML file, or you could just open it in Excel, and that's what you can do here. And if I do that, I can see that I get all of the data in that view in Excel, and again, I can do anything that that I can do in Excel from that point on. So at this point, I might want to like cut things down by filtering, but sometimes I just want to find something because I want to find the other events nearby. And so you can also do this. So I can just look for CLR, and it finds the first event that has CLR in it somewhere, and then I can see sort of what things were around when CLR was loaded. Or I can find that timestamp and then set that timestamp up here to see what other events were going on at that point in time. The only other thing that I want to show you now is this histogram thing. When I clicked load, it brought up stuff in this right pane, but it also populated this histogram. This histogram is basically a simplistic time view of events, where time is the x-axis, and the number that's being displayed here is the y-axis. And values above 100% or 100 go into A, B, and C. They keep getting bigger that way. So this represents that it shows you that I had a lot of events at this point in time, and then very few events here, and then no events over this region of time. So what you can do is you can select a region like this by selecting it, and then down here it actually tells you the exact times, the duration that you selected, how many events occurred during that time, and then the rate at which the average rate. One of the cool things you can do is when you can come up here and right click and say set time range, and what it will do is it will set the time, the start and end time, to whatever that selected range was. So here I selected the range from here to here, and if I go up here and say set time range filter, that becomes my beginning and end spot. And so, but what's kind of cool is that you get to actually see, I'm going to set time range filter, I'm zooming in each time, you get to kind of see what's going on over time. So there was a whole bunch of activity here, then there's nothing, then there's a bunch of activity, and if you want to know exactly what the times are, just select the range and you can get that information. And then there were a few stragglers, and that lets you sort of know where those stragglers are in time, which means that I can now look down and find out that that straggler was really this image, And so a whole bunch of images were loaded early, and then a little bit later on, some other stragglers were brought in. Okay, this pretty much completes this quick tutorial of the event viewer. It's the raw viewer of ETW data, and you can select things in that raw view by selecting start and end times, a process filter, the names of the events that you want filtered, and then just text that's somewhere in that event somewhere. You can select the time range by selecting the histogram, and you can select the columns that you'll show by selecting this calls button and clicking buttons. And as I mentioned in the beginning, if you need to know more, that's what these hyperlinks are for. They take you to the help, and that help is really worth reading. So do that. And this concludes this tutorial of the Event Viewer. Thank you.